Lovely. And I think they're both very familiar stories to us. Actually, the story that she told is more based on the Mark version of these stories rather than the Matthew, because it's a lot it's got a lot more detail in it. Okay, so we've got two people, two situations, two very different situations. We've got the story of a guy who worked in the synagogue. He was, I don't know what you describe him. You might describe him as a bit of a Steve. Because he organised things. He made sure that the building was okay and not falling down and that things were happening at the right time and stuff like that. But he was seen as an important kind of guy, as of course Steve is. You can pay me later, Steve. Okay. And he found himself in a situation where his daughter was very ill. Now, as a person that worked in a synagogue as a Jew, as we're fully aware, the Jews were not that keen on Jesus, and that's a bit of an understatement. So you had a guy here who I think would have had a bit of, well, would he have had a dilemma, or would he have just thought, I'm desperate, my child needs help, I'm going to put aside my thoughts and feelings and what I've been told I should think of Jesus, and I'm going to go to him because I think and I believe that he can make a difference. Okay? So you've got Jairus, and then you've got a lady who has the unfortunate name, really, in certain Bibles as being given the title of the bleeding woman. So let's put some context to this. In the Jewish faith, women who go through menstruation or who are bleeding in some way, shape or form are seen as unclean and are still seen as unclean in the Jewish faith and in other faiths, to be fair. So during their time of menstruation, they have to stay away from everybody because they are seen as unclean. And this poor woman had some sort of condition that meant that she had been seen as unclean for 12 whole years. Not just a bit of a month, but for 12 whole years. She'd gone to various people, and Mark's version said she'd used all the money up, and none of it had helped. In fact, some things had made it worse. That woman, she must have been so desperate for lots of reasons. A, she was ill and it was getting worse. But for me, the biggest thing is that poor woman had been seen as unclean. She wasn't able to go near anybody. How would that have made her feel? What would that do to your mental health? She was made to feel shameful for 12 years of her life, for no good reason. So you've got two very different characters. You've got this guy who works in a synagogue, knows a lot about Jewish law, shouldn't be interested in Jesus because he's not supposed to be. And you've got this woman who's got a condition that means that she's seen as unclean, and therefore feels shame and has been made to feel shame. I guess they were both desperate in their own individual way, but they were both desperate. So, first of all, Jairus goes to visit Jesus to say, I need your help. Not sure how he would have felt. Would he have felt, people are looking at me, are they judging me because I shouldn't be doing this? Yet he was desperate, and he had faith enough to know that Jesus could make a difference in his situation. Now, the woman couldn't do that because she wasn't even supposed to be touching anybody. So she was very nervous about going near Jesus, and Jill told it very well, that she decided, she was so desperate, that even if she just touched any part of his clothing, she had faith to believe that that would make the difference to her, and indeed it did. What she wasn't expecting, because she just thought, I'll just go away now, was that Jesus would know. That's true of some of us, I think. She wasn't expecting that Jesus would know that she was desperate and had gone to him. And yet he did know, and he does know. Who touched me? Yeah, well, she didn't really want to say anything then, did she? Because she shouldn't be touching anybody. So that shame was still there. That feeling of, shouldn't be doing this, was still there. Again, who touched me? And all the people around him were saying, you're having us on. How can we say? Loads of people would have been touching you. Who touched me? And she comes forward and says, me. And at that point, Jesus has a conversation with her that transforms her life. It isn't just about her healing. It's about confirmation. Your faith has made you well. And I think that just wasn't a physical wellness. That shame went. Gone. And then Jairus hears the news that his daughter has died. And at that point Jesus says, don't worry, I'm still coming. And in this particular situation, whereas the situation with the woman has been in a very public arena, everybody around would have heard, goes to Jairus' house, and he doesn't want everybody there, takes three disciples into the room and holds the girl's hand and heals, brings her back to life and tells her to eat something. And then he says, I don't want you to talk about this. But everybody around knew that Jairus' daughter had died, and yet there she was eating something. So although Jesus didn't want it to be a public thing, people were aware of what he'd done. So you've got two very different people in very different walks of life. And Jesus, in one situation, the woman needs that help for herself. In Jairus' situation, he comes to Jesus for somebody else. But both of them had to do something. They had to take action. One took action on behalf of themselves, and one took action on behalf of another person. But they both took action, and they both had faith to believe that what they were doing would make a difference, or that Jesus would make the difference. So I think we need to hear one or two things from this. They're very familiar stories, and I think I asked Jonathan, I don't know how many weeks ago, to tell me what I was speaking on. Here we go. And then it was last weekend, wasn't it, guys, when I found out what I was doing. And so, you think about it during the week, and for me, it's always asking God, okay, what do you want me, or what do you want to say through me? And when it's familiarity, when stories are familiar, you think, oh, I know this story, I know what happens. But all the time, the word of God is a two-edged sword, and we need to be saying, "What God, what are you saying through me, to me, through this familiar passage?" And one or two things came to mind. One is, need is need, whoever you are and whatever you're doing. And it doesn't matter how big or how small that need is, it's still a need to you. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter whether you have been a Christian for many years, or you're watching this and you're not even sure whether you're a Christian, or you think you might have been quite a while ago, but really you're not there now. It doesn't matter. What matters is that you take action and you come to Jesus. Jesus didn't care who came. He didn't see that woman as dirty. He didn't see that woman as needing to be ashamed. He saw her as a person who needed him, who came to him. It isn't that we can't go to him, it's that we should go to him. And we should go to him whatever our need, whether it's big or small. Now, we might know people who have a need. And they may not have shared it publicly, but we know about it. And it might mean that we need to go to Jesus for that person and on their behalf, and we need to be praying for them. I don't know. I think about 6 weeks ago, I was really struggling at work, finding it quite tough. And I remember Jonathan one day in the week, said to me in the morning, I can't remember what you said, something about, are you all right, or what's going on, or something. And I remember saying to him, I said, if I tell you, I will cry, and if I cry, I don't think I'll be able to go to work. And I know that Jonathan, I think it must have been a day when prayer was happening in church, and at the end of the day he came to say, you know, we've been praying for you this morning. And I have to say, my word, I felt it. Things changed from that day forward, and I have seen the change over time. So sometimes it is about bringing the needs of others to Jesus and asking him to work on behalf of others, and sometimes it's about coming ourselves. I just want to reiterate, our needs vary. They can be physical needs. They can be emotional needs. They can be mental health needs, or they can be needs around situations. But they'll vary for every single one of us. And sometimes it's about us going to Jesus, and sometimes it's about perhaps sharing it so that you can go to Jesus with somebody else. And just before I finish, many years ago, I think I might even have been at Bible college, which was a lot of years ago now. I remember feeling shame about something that I had done. I can't even remember what it was, to be honest. And I remember talking to God about it. And what he said to me was, Karen, I want you to put that in a present box for me. And I want you to wrap it up, and I want you to give it to me. And I said, I can't do that. I can't give you that as a present. Presents are nice things. Presents are things you want. And he said, that's exactly why I want you to give it to me, because I want it. I want you to give it to me. And so I'm going to ask you to do something weird today, whether you're in here or whether you're at home or watching this. If you have a need, whatever that might be, if you feel that God is just doing that little tap and saying, right, now's the time, we need to talk about this one. Whether you do it now or when you're at home, think about putting it in that box, wrapping it up, and giving it to Jesus so that he can take it away. If it's something that you have done that you feel guilt and shame about, whether you should or not, is actually irrelevant. If that's how you feel, then Jesus wants to take that away. Whether it's a physical thing and you know that Jesus is talking to you about it, put it in a box and give it to him. Whether it's emotionally, just like I was, I remember my daughter saying, Mum, it's just like you're a sponge and there's no sponge left. And I said, yeah, you're probably right. Let Jesus wring it out so you can start again. Whether it's a mental health need, and that often can come from shame or fear. Not always, but sometimes, I guess. Put it in that box and give it to him. So let's pray together. Father, you sent Jesus to show us who you were and what you were like. And in these two stories, we see Jesus interacting with very different people, but to the same conclusion. We've sung about grace, we've sung about freedom. And Jesus came to bring us both, because that's what you want us to have. And Father, right now, if there is anybody here or at home who feels that little tap on the shoulder saying, now is the time, let's deal with this one. please help each one of us to put in the box our need, to wrap it up, put that bow on it, and just be able to give it to you for you to take it away. And Lord, give us the faith, as Jairus and this woman had, to believe that with you all things are possible, and to know that you will bring freedom in ways that this world cannot understand. Father, I thank you for Jesus, and I thank you that he makes the difference to us in every way possible. Amen.